Well, good evening. I appreciate you coming out on a cold night. Tonight will be a little bit different. I'm stepping outside my comfort zone of just taking scriptures and reading and sharing with you what the Lord has said to me about them. We're going to do a lot of that, but I want tonight to be a word of encouragement for us. I asked Trey in particular to read and share with everyone what we heard Wednesday night. Because I want to tell you, sitting over there, I got excited inside. It excited me for many reasons, but some of the things that I have been pondering are directly in there. And let me say one thing to you that Trey has made the point of on Wednesday night after we've listened to Brother Moore. When we talk about going low, we don't mean berating ourselves. In fact, I'm going to tell you tonight that the biggest act of humility you can have is to be bold enough and confident enough to do exactly what the Word says for you to do. That, to me, is the epitome of humility. Now, this is a new season for what I heard in this Word for High Point Church. But that's not talking about this facility. It is a new season for High Point Church because it's a new season for each one of us. Amen. All around here. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and this started Thursday morning. Go to John chapter 20 with me. In healing school Thursday morning, Trey referred to a scripture that I have long pondered. Actually, it's 21:25. I'm sorry, Robert. That's what you get when you make notes, but you know where it is on your Bible. This verse says, concerning Jesus, John wrote, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books in which it were written. Now, if you ever pondered that, then that's a lot of works. An awful lot of works. And so that is kind of a starting point for where we want to go to. And the next verse I want to go to is John chapter 14, verse 12. And all these verses we're going to look at tonight, there's not anything that's not common that we don't go over a lot. But we're going to ask some questions about it. In John 14, one of my favorite chapters, Jesus says to his disciples, truly, truly, verily, verily, literally, that's a Hebrew word that means so be it. And in other words, pay attention now, because what I'm going to say is going to come about. I say to you who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. So we've got the first verse in John 21:25 is kind of a corner. And then we've got that verse. And I want to tell you, they're directly related. But there's a lot in between them. And for that reason, most of the church world would say, me? Question mark. I mean, it's one thing to think about doing the greater works. I mean, I can see being in awe of that, particularly if you think it's more than just numbers. But it's a pretty awesome thing to think about doing the same works of Jesus. So, me and so many people get paralyzed right there, even though they've got a truth that they can act on. Now, the first time I talk here on a Sunday evening, I use this verse, 2 Corinthians 6. 11 through 13, and the Lord brought it back up to me this weekend, Friday actually. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And I'm going to read it to you in New American Standard, then I want to read a different translation. In fact, I'll just read it off what Robert's got up. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. Now, I believe that's talking about his spirit. In other words, I'm giving you everything I got. But he tells them before he tells them, then he tells them, you are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Affections, those things that you value, those things that you see as important in front of you. And then it goes on and says, now in a like exchange, I speak to you as children, open wide to us also. Now, I believe the Lord is telling us this tonight because it's a Sunday night type crowd that can get excited, really excited about the word that Trey got Wednesday. It's people who are willing to come here when it's cold, when you don't feel like it. Why? Because you want to be opened wide to the things of the Holy Spirit. The Message translation says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. That sounds like to me the same and greater works. Paul then says, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel, let me say unworthiness, who me do those, comes from within you. Your life isn't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. So that's my prayer tonight, is that we're going to hear, not my words, but the words of the Holy Spirit concerning some of these verses, and we're going to really anchor ourselves in the two that we read just previously, John 21 and John 14. Now, how many of you have ever done a Christmas thing? I have seen in many homes, a jigsaw puzzle, one of those with many pieces. I'm not very good at those. I've got two grandkids that see things in those shapes that allow them to put them together real quick. And I'm talking about a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. It embarrasses me how good they are at it. But what I want to say to you is that whether it's 60 pieces or 100 pieces or 1,000 pieces, every piece in that puzzle is critically important. Just like you are in the body of Christ. And so what I want us to see then is that I don't get the fulfillment in the magnitude we can when we all don't participate in words like Trey just gave. How high? What can we do for him if we were all on the same tune and all working in that direction? Luke 7, 28. And I just want to hammer this just a second. Luke 7, 28. Jesus says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Talking about John the Baptist, and we think about all he did. Yet he, John the Baptist, who is least, talking about us now, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, John the Baptist. So why then, when we think of all the things that the prophets did, Elisha, Elijah, all of those, and this says John was the greatest, why do we draw back when we see a verse like the same and greater works? And I'm not saying each of you do, because you're here and that speaks volumes about what your heart, where your heart is, but a majority of the church pulls back. Ephesians 4:16. That's one crowing. I didn't deny him. Okay. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies." So the body of Christ is held together by every part and those joints that thing which every joint supplies. So every, according to the proper working of each individual part. So now I can begin to get a picture of us at High Point Church in this picture of this local body. And look at what it says at the end. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love, which is how our faith works. That says to me it is vitally important for every one of us in here to hear that word. And I'll tell you, I've looked back at it, and you can find it throughout the scripture, so we know it's God's will. And take it as our own and what we do with it. Now, let's go back to a jigsaw puzzle. Because what I see us doing a lot of times is we labor to try to put a puzzle together because we don't see the big picture. And when it comes to this word, if we're not careful, if we don't see from a different perspective, we're going to labor in not a good way for us to try to put ourselves in a position to make it happen. And if we do that, it won't happen. So think about a jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces are important. We said earlier that it's not complete without all the pieces. And every piece relates to one another in a jigsaw puzzle. Now, they are related even though they may be on extreme ends. So what's the first thing you do when you start putting one of those puzzles together? You look for corners and straight edges. And you don't see the relationship just looking at this little piece on a corner and just looking at this little piece on a corner until what? Until you get all the rest of them in, and then you see how those two pieces are related. Now, there's a method in my madness in this. That's the same way with this word we just got. Different ones of us are going to see different parts, and we're going to be targeted by the Lord to do certain parts because He can't do it all. Amen. And in fact, the leadership team can't do it all. Amen. It is this body that's going to have to act, but we get hung up because we can't see the relationship between this part, this piece, and this piece. And so for now, I want you to think about these pieces being all the works that Jesus did. And if they were written down, there's not enough space in this earth for all the books. And the other end, so this top left-hand corner, the bottom right-hand corner is you doing the same and greater works. Now, the reason we don't have to strive is because God sees it, and He will show you that part that you need to see in order to do the work. I think there are very few who'll see the entire picture of that. Now, I want to look at and or tell you about a scripture. Let me say, too, and He wants to reveal it to you. He's not withholding. Have you ever heard people say you can see Jesus on every page of the Bible, Old Testament, too? See Him revealed? Donna's probably, maybe Bruce, but Donna is probably the only other person that's geeky enough like me on words to want to know what some of these things mean. And so I want to give you an example here. If you take the begats, does that excite you?
Yes.
Well, it does some of you, and it should. And you may know this. I had heard it, and so I started looking at it and studying. But if you start with Adam and take 10 generations to Noah, let me just quickly go through, and I want to tell you the names of each generation and what that name means in Hebrew. Adam, a man. Seth, to put or to set in place. In other words, to appoint or to appoint as a substitute. Enosh, mortal. Kenan, sorrow. Mahaliel, and the EL is of God, so that really means the blessed of God or the praised of God. Jared means to descend or descent. In other words, something that shall come down. Enoch means teaching, to initiate or to train, to discipline. Methuselah literally means death sent. And it can be interpreted, his death will bring. Lamech, to make low, depressed, humiliated, despairing. Not the same type of humble we were talking about earlier. Noah means rest and comfort. So now let me read you those and put them all together. Man, appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed or praised of God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. What have we? The preaching of the gospel in the lineage from Adam to Noah. Now, I don't think that the sages of old could ever in their wildest imagination construct that. So here's God. He puts this in place. He speaks his word. He names these people. Now, do you reckon that, I mean, pick any two of them, that they had any clue of what the picture that they were involved in? Because they couldn't see it. But when we step back and look at God's words, when we believe and take the prophecy, the word that we just got for about this church being built up, and our light shining so bright that it impacts not only this neighborhood, but this city, this region, this state, the southeast, and overseas. Who'd have ever thought it? Because we didn't see the picture as God sees it. Now, having said that, go to Jeremiah, first chapter. And I've got several landing points tonight, so if I don't go as fast as I thought I would, I can land and we'll do this, finish it at another time. But I really would like to try to get there. In this first chapter of Jeremiah, I want us to look at verses 11 and 12. And the Lord is talking to him, and there's some words that are used that I want to just focus on. Verse 11 says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, What do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree." Now let's stop there. What did the Lord ask him? He'd been talking to him, giving him a word, and then the Lord says to him, "What do you see?" So I'll ask it for the first time. What do we see for the church, but more importantly, for ourselves? In the word that was given. And I'm assuming Trey will get it out and have it so we can, everybody in the church can have it and pray over it and see how it speaks to them. But it's interesting that he said, ask him that question. And then in verse 12, he said, "Then the Lord said to me, You've seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Now, I want to ask a question. Let me back up. Where was Jeremiah seeing? Into the spirit realm, in the spiritual realm. Don't take seeing things in the spirit as something that's reserved for one or two people, but see it as something that is for everyone. To me, I mean, when it talks of John says, "I was all of a sudden this happened and I was in the spirit," or people say that today. To me, it seems that that should mean to us, I am so much more focused on that spirit realm than what I see in this natural realm, that what I'm seeing in this natural realm just fades away as I look at the spirit. And that's what that says to me. So here's Jeremiah doing that. And then this verse, verse 12, says to me that when we submit to His word that He instructs us in whatever it is that He's asking us to do. Now, submitting means I'm humbling myself to Him. I'm bowing my knee. Let me say it a different way. He is my Savior and He's my Lord. Amen. And when I bow my knee to Him and I'm being a hearer and a doer, then what is going to bring what He told me about as I do it? Let me put this in South Georgia or Middle Georgia slang, same thing in East Tennessee. It ain't me. Okay? It's all about Him. He's going to do it because that's what He said He's doing. He watches over His word to bring it to pass. In other words, what is working? What is that force that goes through and causes that power that we're graced to have dwelling in us? What is it that causes it to do that? It's speaking that word. What is it Reinhard Bonnke had the Lord reveal to him? And this, he had this revealed to him when he had had another missionary come who had had some miracles, and he had had none. And the missionary just left after he'd told the congregation, tomorrow we're going to have a healing service. And the Lord told him to leave, so he did. And he left Reinhard there to do it. And guess what? Miracles happened. Because it was a word of the Lord. Reinhard acted on it. And that's when he told him, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. Selah. He is no respecter of persons. So this is equally true for you and I. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. There's a song that I heard years and years ago. It was entitled, The Word is Working Mightily in Me. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, when you did what? You took it in. You got a revelation of it. It just didn't come in. I joke and, yeah, I'll say it. I jokingly said back in the days that I knew a lot of people who, if they had earrings, they could put one that said in and the other that said out. Because that's the way they listened. It went one in one ear, and as my dad said, out the other. I can remember him telling ball players that. What, are you not listening? And so this says, the word that we received, talking about deep in our heart, from us, the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. And this is the part I want us to see. The word of God, which also performs its work in you. Yes. What work in me? Whatever work He's spoken to you that is to be done in you and through you. That is the enablement we have to do whatever we are called to do. So, if we think back about John 20 and John 14... then I want to ask the question, what are we looking at? What do we see? Do we see just the realities around us that even start in this neighborhood and say, how do we ever become that kind of light that the whole neighborhood would come? Or do we look more at His word and see that this light can be seen around the world? What are we looking at? What is capturing our attention? What do we see? Because what you are looking at is what you eventually are giving power to. What you look at, you make room for inside you. And what you make room for inside you is what you will eventually give power to. Revelations 4:1, you don't need to turn there. John says, Jesus says, come up here and I will show you. Now, he's talking to him about showing him the things that are come. But I hear him saying that to us tonight. Come up. Let me show you. Let me show you how I see it. Yes. Because that's the way I want you to see it. Amen. Now, that verse is talking about end times. And here's what we do sometimes. We get so focused on a part of that verse that's talking about things to come. And I'm not saying that's bad. But the focus there is come up. So he's talking here about the end times. And people say, well, what about tribulation? And my answer to that is, I'm going. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib.
Yeah.
Don't matter. I'm going. Well, which one? It doesn't matter. I'm going. I'm coming up. I'm going to see it as he sees it. He doesn't see it and think about all the punishment. He sees it as when my people come to me and the bride is presented to him. So that's what I'm talking about, a difference in perspective. Now, what he's saying is, I want you to see in my realm, and I want to tell you that I had in my notes the same thing that Trey said this morning. This is not going to happen unless you spend time with the Holy Spirit and with the Word and have that relationship with both. This coming up, if you're not careful and you don't spend that time, you're going to be doing it yourself or trying to do it yourself versus letting the Lord bring you up. And so take that time. You know, we're of Jewish heritage spiritually. And the Jewish people, you would have to agree, are great money investors and managers. And so what does an investment guy say to us normally? Take the long view. What are we doing? Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? Gosh, look what may happen in an hour. Instead of taking that long view, that eternal view that impacts us throughout eternity. Now, let me just, Trey opened the door a little bit this morning, so let me just share with you a couple of things. And some of this I've never shared publicly about when we came to Macon. The Lord told us to come to Macon. We were in St. Simon's Island. Once we ascertained it was Macon, because that's not the exact word he used, but that's a whole other story. Within a week, we put our house up for sale. Thought it would sell quick. It didn't. A few months later, we were in Macon, and I asked BJ as we were in the car by ourselves, did you hear anything today? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, so we did you first. And she said, we're supposed to move now. And I said, amen. That's exactly what I heard. So the next day we went and got rented an apartment. Tricia took us to a few apartments and we found a place to move to. And on November 11th of 2013, we came. And I would love to tell you that I saw the end view. I saw the relationship between where I was and where he's, what he had for me here. But I didn't. The only thing I saw was that next piece. Move to Macon. And that created some angst. Now, the Lord helped with that. He gave me some things to pray about that helped me. But 3 weeks before we moved, we were listening to a teacher that we respect. And we took a word of the Lord that she gave. And she gave it over the internet, and she said, this is for someone not here in this assembly, but someone out over the internet. And by the time we got through with this entire word, and I'm not going to read you but one paragraph, I was on my knees just crying. And my phone was ringing because we had some friends there, and they were calling saying, are you listening? It's for you. And another person who was listening over the internet. And this word said, and by the touch of the anointing, and this is not about me. Understand I'm reading it with a humble heart here. And by the touch of the anointing and the power of God, of all the things he could say, he said, your eyes will see. And he said, you will see in greater detail. And by that, those eyes seeing in greater detail, it will activate your mouth. There's a real key for every one of us in this room there. When we see what the Lord has planned for us, when we know we're stepping out in His steps, our mouth will be declaring it boldly and confidently. It goes on and says, "And mountains shall surely be removed, and you shall know that I am at work, saith the Lord." That same event, there was a song that was sung one night, and it's called "Heaven on Earth" by David and Nicole Binion. And let me just read a few of the lines to you. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord, that eternal kingdom, that long view, is within me." And we know that's scriptural, because where is the kingdom? It's in us. "And He's calling me to the heavenlies." And then He says, "Be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth. To be walking in His favor and grace, just like heaven on earth." Another section says, "Marching in the spirit of unity to show our community, show His ability. The will of the Lord for His children is to demonstrate, to perpetuate." And then at the end of this song, it says, "Heaven is calling for you to come higher, to see everything from a new point of view, to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. From His perspective, everything is made new." That became our anthem. It was what it is, a song that I played over and over the day we packed up to move. Trisha was there, and BJ's sister was there, and I was in a car by myself driving home. That song played all the way across the mountain from Johnson City to Asheville. And what was I doing? I was latching on and trying to see, because all I heard and all I was doing was moving to Macon, giving up an opportunity where I was teaching weekly, a Bible study that grew to 40 or 50, went down some to 20 or 30 by the time we were leaving, teaching it some on Wednesday nights. If you told me that we would come here and what has happened would happen, I'd have said, no way. Not in 2-3 years. It's just not possible. But because we saw enough and stepped out enough, He began to give us glimpses of where things were going. And if I had seen what I see today, I would have probably been too scared to move. But He saw the connections between what Jesus did and all the miracles, and Him telling you and I, you go and you do the same and greater works. From His perspective, everything is made new. So when we take a look from the kingdom perspective, and I can remember praying, "Lord, I don't see beyond, but You say go and You'll open up opportunities to teach." And we had some other words that were very specific about that. I kept my focus on those words versus, "I'm going to go down here and we got to find a church, and there's more churches in Macon per capita than anywhere in the nation." And all the things in the natural. And because we did, and because we're obedient, look what the Lord has been able to do. And now I'm placed with a body that loves me and BJ, a body that is excited as I am about what is in front of us. And it is just exceeding my expectations. So to me, this is a message of, let's encourage ourselves and see what He has done to get us this far, and see what He is going to do to take us further. Now, God's will. In the end, God's will be accomplished. Who does that is another question. And the question is, will you and I be involved in doing what He's called us to do? Or is He going to have to get someone else? Because God is not going to, just because it's God's will for me to do something, if I refuse, He's not going to put His hand in His back and shove me to a point where I have to do it. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. If you feel that kind of pressure, then you know you're an enemy of your soul. So that is a choice. And it makes a big difference on what we look at. So are we preoccupied? Go to Isaiah 60. And at a recent opportunity away from High Point, I had an opportunity to share the word, and this is one of the things the Lord had me talk about. Isaiah 60, the first verse. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Now, just hearing that ought to make faith rise up inside you right now after hearing the word of the Lord earlier. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. So let me stop. What are you going to look at? Am I going to look at you and see that bright light shining at me? Or am I going to look at all this darkness that's around here? What's going to be my focus, the light or the darkness? Now this gets better for us because the next verse says, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea. Now, to me, when it talks about abundance of the sea and the sea in Revelation, I think it's people. That's where God's heart is in people. That is the reason Jesus came. The only reason is so that he could have his people with him. Now think about Matthew 6, verse 10, which is the prayer. I don't like to call it the Lord's Prayer because to me that's Matthew 17. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I personally believe that for us today, this is not just a prayer, but it is a declaration. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Now, the question that I have when I do this is, what is a kingdom? It's the king's domain. It's the area or the domain he's ruling over. So your kingdom come. What is he going to rule over? Are we talking about Macon and the earth? Or is he going to rule over you and I where his kingdom is? Because that's where the kingdom is. Who are we going, are we going to submit then to that rule? I am living in my king's domain and he is ruling in me. That is the fact that we have. Now let's go look at a Christmas verse, Isaiah 9th chapter. And we'll read several verses here. 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Now let me just stop there. The government will rest on his shoulders. Jesus is the what? Head of the body of Christ. The government doesn't rest on his head. It rests on his shoulders, which is what? You and I. So you begin to see in this how he's ruling. And then it goes on and said, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And this is the part I wanted to get to. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. There will be no end to the increase. What does that say to you and I? When we hear scriptures like our prophecies or words that bear witness with us and we take them as our own, then there ought to be increase after increase after increase. Increase of what? Well, what does the Lord say? He says, I am. That's who he is. Tell him who sent you. Or who should I say sent me? And he said, tell him I am. No disrespect intended, but it'll make a point. What am he? What is he? He is whatever you am, you are in need of. He am whatever you need. Everything. Everything. That's what he is to us. And what does it say? We ought not see ourselves as stagnant, but pursuing the word that he's given us, we ought to see increase after increase after increase. Now, is it me working to get that increase? No, because what does New Testament tells us? One waters, but who gives the increase? The Father does, okay? So it's not about what we're doing. And again, we're not working to gain his honor or his grace. We're working from that grace that he's given. How much does he want us to increase? Deuteronomy, first chapter, 11th verse. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you a thousandfold more than you are, and bless you, just as he has promised you. And of his government, there will be no end of its what? Of its increase. What are we looking at? What are we seeing? Luke 12. Just two more, a couple more scriptures. And I'll get through here. Luke 12, 29th verse. This is Luke's account of kind of a Matthew 6. thing. And he says, and do not seek, or let me say, look for or look at constantly what you shall drink, and don't keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. In other words, they're trying to find them. They're trying to put their eyes on them. But your Father knows you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to gladly give you the kingdom. Yes. Where did he give that kingdom to you? In your spirit. Do you realize? Well, let me ask you. When you got born again and received the Holy Spirit, and if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you have just a portion of that spirit? You got the whole thing. When my children, my grandchildren, one of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she didn't get a junior Holy Spirit because she was a junior. She got the fullness of it. Yeah. So do we see that's the fullness of the kingdom? Yes. All of the authority? All the ability of God? His grace to me is more than just unmerited favor or unearned favor. It's all the ability of God available to me for what he's told me to do. Amen. That's the view that we need to have. Now, we need to be more like Moses. Go to Exodus 33 with me. And some of you who come to healing school, you're just going to have to hear this again. And that's okay. It's worth it. I have looked at this chapter almost daily now for over a month. And I want to start in verse 14. Now here's Moses, who'd seen more of the glory of God than anybody else up to that point. And he's having a debate with God. And we're going to start in verse 14. And the Lord said to him, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. In other words, if your presence doesn't go, I ain't moving. And then he goes on to say, for how can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not by that you're going with us so that we, I and thy people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? That's you today. You are distinguished more than all the other people who don't know Jesus on the face of the earth. How? Know ye not that ye are the temple? I think the Greek word there is nasa, which really means the place where your most treasured thing is. It was like a jewelry box that they could put their most valuable things in. That's how the Lord sees you. And then this story continues, and Moses says, show me your glory, and then go to look at verse 21. Now, remember that song? Be seated with him in the heavenly places. See everything from his point of view. It's very scriptural. In verse 21, then the Lord says to Moses, behold, there is a place by me, and you should stand on the rock. Now I want to stop and just ask you to meditate this one. There is a place by me that the Lord prepared for Moses and told him that there you're going to stand on the rock. He's prepared that same place for you and I. But to me, standing on a rock, people say, well, I'm just standing on Jesus, or I'm standing on the Word. That's not what standing on the rock means.
Right.
Standing on the rock means you hear it and you do it.
Right.
So it goes back to, what are we looking at? Are we just looking for something we can say, or are we looking for that Word that gets in us, that motivates us to act? And finally, in Ephesians 2, and in many ways I believe I'm preaching to the choir, but that's okay. I'll get happy reading it. Ephesians 2, let's start in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. Hallelujah. Made us alive together in or with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him. And he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Go down to verse 10. For we, who have that place that he prepared for us, seated with him in heavenly places, seeing things from his perspective. And from his perspective, all things are made new. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beloved of God, when we choose to be like Abraham or Abram, depending on where this started, and don't consider the things around us that we see, but the Word said Abraham considered only the promise that the Lord had given. Now that didn't mean he didn't see his body. He saw his body and he saw Sarah's. And instead of saying, ain't no way, or I don't see this whole picture, he looked to the end.
That's right.
And he saw the picture that said, what God said, he is faithful to deliver.
Amen.
Folks, that's what we need to see. That's that jigsaw puzzle. Starting point is Jesus did many, many, many mighty works. End point, we ought to see there where it says, and we ought to believe it just as much as we did the starting point, the same and greater shall you do because I go to my Father. Let this encourage you. let this move us over these next weeks and months as we do introspection at year end. And introspection to me is not tearing yourself down. It's just listening to the Lord and letting Him expose the things that need exposing. See what He's telling you to do and how you're to be a part of this word that Trey shared with us earlier. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You that You've told us that Your word works effectively in us. And so that's going to be our decree. And Father, I'm reminded of what You told me in Florida several weeks ago to begin to declare, I hear the sound of abundant rain. I hear the sound of abundant rain. Lord, I don't even see the cloud. It's so far in the distance. But we declare tonight concerning this word that has been spoken to us, we hear the sound of abundant rain, and so shall it be. In Jesus' name. Amen.